Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It is arguably the best basketball week of the year. We got conference tourneys all week long. Small conferences, you got to win, you get in. We've already seen, I think it was three teams so far that have never been to the Big Dance make it, and SIU Edwardsville, High Point, and Nebraska Omaha, so that's always fun to see. And then we have the major tournaments starting. A couple of them start tomorrow, I know. But one of my favorite weeks of the year. How you doing, IT Dog?
Doing good, Jay, man. I'll throw in the start of NFL free agency.
That too.
Always fun. And you might have seen this, but it was just posted 2 minutes ago. It's breaking news. Miami Dolphins have a new quarterback in town.
Oh, boy. Is it Mariota?
Zach Wilson.
Oh, son of a mother.
I knew the Broncos wanted him back, but they signed Jared Stidham back, so I knew Wilson wasn't going to come back. So,
you know, you could do watching the Dolphins' backup quarterbacks the past couple of years when Tua, you know, gets his brain screamed.
Right.
Zach Wilson could be that could be a lot worse for the Dolphins. After watching Skylar Thompson. I would have preferred like a Mariota or maybe even like a Gardner Minshew. But hey, Dolphins did something today. I think that's the first money they spent. Today, so.
Interesting deal. It's 1 year, $6 million full guaranteed. That could grow up to $10 million.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
for a backup quarterback, I guess.
Well,
you know, they were so desperate this past year that they went.
To be honest, I know. Of course, the starting quarterback market's crazy. The backup's starting to be crazy too. Like Stidham, his previous contract with the Broncos was 2 year, $10 million. He resigned for 2 year, $12 million.
Yeah, it's I mean, you have an injury, your season's kind of, which is kind of exactly what happened to the Dolphins last year.
Yep. So.
Hey, maybe they can strike gold. Who knows? Hopefully they won't have to play a meaningful snap.
Right.
That's the ideal situation or scenario with a backup quarterback.
Right. But no, doing good. Like you said, conference tournaments all over the place. Already saw some bid stealers happen. Yeah. Patriot League, 14-18 Navy upsets 1 seed Bucknell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's I'm glad. I think you and I are both glad our teams aren't sweating out in the bubble.
Illinois hasn't been on the bubble, and neither has Purdue in a long time, really. Illinois hasn't been on the bubble since 2017. That was Gross's last year where they just imploded. And at Rutgers, we watched that game together. That was fun. Our teams have been – firmly in the tourney, but if I'm an Ohio State fan right now, I'd be sweating out. Even in Indiana, I'm sure a lot of bubble teams anyway were very, very happy that Drake won yesterday because I think they would have got in regardless. And that's just one of them. And you can have bid stealers in the AAC, Atlantic 10 maybe this year too. It's a very weak bubble, but at the same time, some of these teams will be sweating it out, this week. So
no doubt. And, brought some college basketball related birdie or bogey with me, Big Ten related.
All right.
We should be knowing here soon, if it hasn't been announced already, who the Big Ten player of the year is for 2024-25. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Braden Smith, but
this will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week.
Oh, find it. Okay.
Just to get out of the way, it'll be Braden Smith for sure. Oh, that'd be three straight Big Ten Player of the Year for Purdue.
Yeah.
I think it's probably between Smith and Tanjay, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else that could be a candidate.
Trey Kaufman-Rinn might get third. It wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't surprise me. He should be a first teamer.
Should be.
At least. J-Man's Book It Prediction Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. For life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance, contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Book it! I think this is the first time we've ever had two segments overlap. Two sponsor reads like that. I think that's a first.
That was poor planning on J-Man's part.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I like it. You know, how many every years we're into this?
First. I don't even think you've said the question yet.
I haven't. I was teeing it up. It's all good. You're excited. Big Ten related, like I said, pretty simple. It's either going to be a birdie or a bogey tonight. What team has the most Big Ten Player of the Year award winners?
How long have they done the Big Ten Player of the Year award, you know?
I think it dates back to at least the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the 80s. Gosh, don't quote me on that. Well, I got it right. Let me see.
That's a good question. I have no idea. Obviously, Purdue has won two in a row and potentially three.
It goes back to... gosh, I was... Yeah, 84, 85 was the first
one. Okay, cool. Purdue's what, won five since 2010?
Yes. And yeah, assuming Braden Smith wins it. Yeah, they've had five since 2010.
I couldn't remember if Carson won it or not.
He did not.
Great question. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for great food and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. I'm sure they'll have the games on in there this weekend.
Yes, they will. And they had a good looking weekend special over the weekend. Smoked prime rib with a choice of two sides.
I've had the smoked prime rib there. It is fantastic and pretty dang affordable for a smoked prime rib too.
Yeah, that's well said, because a prime rib can get pretty pricey.
Oh yeah, I've had a $99 prime rib before, and I've had a $24 prime rib before. The difference between the two, not much, to be honest.
I love it. Yeah, yes, like J-Man said, go get some great food, upscale cuisine, and cocktails with casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. So you want to get right in talking hoops?
Let's do it.
Yeah, our teams went head-to-head Friday night in a pretty darn good college basketball game. Really good if you didn't care who won. but in the end, Illinois won 88-80, high-scoring affair that really – I mean, it was close to me until 40 seconds left. Mm-hmm. So it was a battle. It was a game that saw Purdue lead about 35 minutes of the 40.
Yeah,
but that's why you play 40 minute games. It doesn't always matter who leads the most minutes. All you got to do is lead the last minutes. Credit to Illinois, hit some really big shots down the stretch, and Purdue on the opposite end just couldn't quite make those shots. Braden Smith went cold at the wrong time. Late in the game, after being amazing for a good majority. Oh, yeah. But I was upset, of course, the night of. You know, any time your team loses a close game, and I knew Purdue's shot at double bye was pretty much gone. I mean, they realistically still could have happened, but they needed a lot of help. So I was kind of bummed about that. But then the next day, I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, because what made me rest better was I didn't think Purdue played bad. I actually thought they played pretty good. It was just Illinois just made more shots at the end.
Yeah, really, I said this last week, like now five of the last six Purdue-Illinois games have been awesome. I mean, starting mm-hmm. with that double OT game in Champaign, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, mm-hmm. And ending with this one where, yeah, Purdue controlled the middle part for sure. Illinois started hot. The worst thing that happens is Illinois team is they hit three or four threes within the first seven or 8 minutes,
oh,
and they keep jacking them up, and they next thing you know, they're two for their next 20. Instead of going inside against a Purdue team that is one of the worst in the Big Ten at defending the 2-point field goal.
They have no rim protection.
There's zero rim protection, but they just didn't want to go inside.
Yeah, Illinois got backdoor cuts all night long.
One thing that Will Riley has figured out is how to cut. Again, he's gotten a lot of points, especially from Tommy Avisic, because he's such a good passer for as big as he is. But Illinois had no answer for Trey Kaufman-Wren at all game long. What did he end up with, 29, I think?
29. He's done that quite a few times lately where it's like, oh, man, he's going to get 35 or 40, but then he stops like 29. But, yeah, he's pretty good offensively.
Underwood, 38 minutes to make any sort of adjustment. And they finally brought a double, got a stop, and then I think it was a tie game at the time, and Will Riley made a really good play to pickpocket him. And then, of course, KJ hits the big three, which is probably – I would say the shot of the year for Illinois so far.
I was fine with him shooting it when he shot it. Honestly, I'm like, okay. And then he made it. Like,
yeah, he hadn't shot the ball well really past 6 weeks or so. He had a couple threes on Friday, but a big one, obviously, with 39 seconds left or something. But, yeah, they Braden Smith was all world the first 30 minutes, and then he only – made one field goal the final, I think, 11 minutes of the game. And I don't know if it was just he went cold or Boswell actually stopped him, because Boswell couldn't contain him at all the first 30 minutes. But, yeah, it kind of – in the second half, it kind of reared its ugly head again for Purdue. The three-headed, you know, monster. They didn't get much bench production. Jakari Harris had a couple flashes in the first half. And then Miles Colvin had the big dunk where he got a
technical. He hung on the rim, but it's just
he shouldn't have pulled himself up. That's right. What got him. I think if he just hung there and kind of swung back, I think he would have been okay, but he pulled himself up. Of course, you're in the moment. I'd love to be able to do it once, honestly.
I'd
love it just to feel it. But you're in the moment. I mean, you're trying to protect yourself. Yeah. At the same time, you're pumped because it was a heck of a pass from Braden from half court, too.
That usually doesn't go well when they try stuff like that.
Illinois was able to outscore him 16-3 over the final 2 minutes. And, of course, I think 8 of those points were from the free throw line. I was pleased with their effort. I was not very happy there with about 11 minutes left. They were down 10. They were able to finally get some stops. They made the adjustment of taking Avisic out of the game and putting old Hummer in, Ben Hummerkaus, who it was a joke watching him try to guard TKR, but somehow they were able to force some missed shots with him in there. And then he had two massive threes in the second half, one to give him the lead and then one to cut it to one, which is probably what won him the game, honestly. He misses that shot. Purdue gets the rebound. It's probably over. Pleased with their effort. And honestly, the thing I was so happy with more was the fact that they ended up not having to play in that 8-9 game, because you lose, then you're playing at, 11 a.m. on a central time on a Thursday, 11 a.m. again on a Friday. If you win, Indy would have had to play Indiana, which would be worst case scenario for me personally. So that's the thing I was probably the most happy for.
Yeah, I actually like Purdue's draw.
I think Purdue has the best draw of anyone that is playing on Thursday.
A lot, but I hate the time. 9 p.m. on Thursday night, then win 9 p.m. on a Friday night. Oh, well, that's if the other games don't run long. So it could be like a 9:45 tip. But I'm telling you, Jay, man, I think there's a decent chance Purdue and Illinois meet on Saturday in the semifinals.
There's definitely a chance. It decent with who Illinois would have to play in the second
round. Maryland's the sexy pick right now. They're hot. They are. But, and maybe I look too much into this. I look at location of the conference tournament. Who's going to have fans there? Maryland's got nobody there. Maybe I look too much into that.
That's fair. But in my eye, I see, Maryland won by 21 and Champaign this year.
Yeah.
Illinois did not have a Vesic. Merez Johnson, I think they're going to find out today if he will be able to play, because he'd be huge. I think they would have at least tried to put him on TKR, because they're built the exact same pretty much, and maybe they would have been able to slow him down a little bit. So they need him back, because they hadn't been rebounding the ball that well besides at Michigan. Maybe having a fully healthy roster would be different, but Maryland is a nightmare.
They're talented.
They're a nightmare mismatch for a team like Illinois, and I was dreading it when I saw it and was mad that Michigan had lost. Of course, I was glad they lost to Illinois, but I wish Michigan would have beaten Maryland now looking back on Wednesday or whenever they played that game.
And I know this was shared in our group text, and my dad texted me about it too, so I'm going to share it. Michigan finished 14-6, but had a negative point differential in Big Ten games. That hasn't happened in Division I league play since 1984.
Yeah, I saw that as well. They had gotten awfully fortunate. They started out, 14-4, or 14-3, I think they were, and then they lost the final three. And they had won like 7 in a row where it was like 4 points or less. Mm-hmm. So you knew that was going to flip. You knew it was going to flip. I mean, the basketball gods are never that forgiving. And Illinois blew them out. Maryland won a fairly close one. And then Michigan State just blitzed them from the start yesterday.
Just killed them.
And then you had the whole, kerfuffle at half court, mid court, when Dusty Mesa. I didn't know about the tradition, which I think is bull
pucky. Oh, he's lying out of his teeth.
Absolutely lying out of his teeth. So that was a bad look. I think it's a stupid tradition anyway, because I hate Michigan State.
But it's tradition. You got to honor it.
It is. We've seen, I saw on Twitter today, Greg Gard let Aaron Harris, who was on crutches, go out there and, kiss the logo on his senior day. So it's one of those things you kind of have to live with.
Yep.
And Michigan obviously knew about it and didn't want it to happen, which was kind of funny. But Michigan limped to the finish line. Nebraska, man. they controlled their own destiny to get to the tourney for sure. You can say that about everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
But they had a very good opportunity. I mean, five games, you get Minnesota at home, you get Iowa at home. You have a game at home against Michigan you got a chance against. And then they lose all five, including yesterday losing.
One at Penn State, too.
One at Penn State as well. Yeah. And they got whooped at Penn State. I forgot about that one. And so they went from just a week and a half ago, we're still in the tourney, to we're not in the Big Ten tourney and we're probably not going to get an NIT invite. It's crazy how quick that happens. And pretty terrible implosion by Nebraska.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. They're the first team I can ever remember. They're not going to get in, but they're the first team, if you want to call them on the bubble, to be on the bubble and not be playing in their conference tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine. I haven't seen Lenardi's thing today, but I can't imagine he had him even in. Under consideration, but.
No. I think in the Big Ten, I think there's how many teams? I think there's nine teams safely in. Ohio State's on the ball. I think Indiana's in now.
I do too. If they would have lost to Ohio State, it'd be a different story.
Correct.
They lost a tough one at Oregon last week, but then followed it up. And Ohio State controlled that game majority of the game Saturday. I think they were up 9 with about 10 left, and Indiana just chipped away. And Trey Galloway hit some really big shots.
He's played pretty well this year.
He went through a stretch where he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but now it seems like he's hitting clutch shot after clutch shot. And if they beat Oregon, I think they are 100% lock. I think they'll sweat it out a little bit and maybe play on Dayton, in Dayton.
Again.
If they lose to Oregon. Again. I think they're in for sure. And what he said, maybe I'm leaving too soon. Well, like it was his decision.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, you know. Jeff Goodman, take it for what it's worth. But, you know, he's reporting to all these different guys who are saying no.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that they're going down their list. It looks like quite a bit, but hey, yeah. I mean, it's still a really, really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's a top five or maybe even top 10 job. So
I don't think it's a top job in the Big Ten anymore. I mean, it's probably in the top three, I would say. I wouldn't say it's definitively the best job in the Big Ten like it was even.
Yeah.
In 15 years ago.
That's fair.
But yeah, it's not a blue blood anymore. I mean, it's been almost 40 years since they've won a title. They need to take.
They've only been to four Sweet 16s since 2002.
Yeah. It's a very, very good job. And if you win there, you're going to be a hero, like Bob Knight was. Tom Crean was ran off, though, and he did some good things there,
yep.
Taking over a dumpster fire when he did.
Yep. So looking at the Big Ten bracket, we kick things off Wednesday with 13 seed Northwestern against 12 seeded Minnesota. Who do you like in that game?
Man.
Should be a good one.
It honestly should be pretty good. Give me Minnesota because they're healthy. Nick Martella can carry your team, though.
He can. I'll take Northwestern to be different. So that's who the winner of that game will play, Wisconsin. Next game, the other game on Wednesdays, 15-seeded, who the heck is that? Iowa versus 12-seeded Ohio State.
10-seeded Ohio State. Ohio State's fighting for their tourney lives, and Iowa is just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Because it looked like they weren't going to get in to the Big Ten. And then, of course, they beat Nebraska. Because of that, I think Ohio State comes out tight and Iowa plays free and loose. And I think Iowa wins that one.
I was going to go Iowa as well. I think they can get hotter shooting the ball.
Yep.
So, and then the other Wednesday game, I forgot this stupid chart on Big Ten.org is not very good and easy to read. But you got 14 seeded USC versus 11 seeded Rutgers. It's the nightcap.
Give me Rutgers just based on talent alone. They got a win in their season. Maybe they get a win in the Big Ten tourney.
A lot of athletes all over the court in this one, but I am picking Rutgers as well. And then starting Thursday, the 9-A game, Indiana versus Oregon, two teams that just matched up last week.
Oregon having to travel east, play at 9 a.m. their time. In Indianapolis.
Yeah. It's a away game for them.
It's legit. An away game at, again, 9 a.m. local time for them.
Yeah.
Give me Indiana in that one.
Yep. I think IU wins pretty comfortably, actually, in that one. Then yeah, you got Minnesota. I got Northwestern against Wisconsin.
Wisconsin kind of limped to the finish line a little bit, too.
Bad loss.
Real bad loss. They were up 13 in the first half against Penn State at home. And then Penn State just, I mean, credit Penn State. I mean, they had already been eliminated from Big Ten tourney contention, and they played really hard. They were hitting big shots. And Wisconsin probably played a little bit tight because they had the they had very good odds to get a double bye, and then they ruined that chance. But give me Wisconsin.
I am taking Wisconsin as well. So we both have Iowa playing the Illini, which I know you will not be looking forward to that.
No, Illinois just last week or 2 weeks ago now blew out Iowa, and they will have a home court advantage in, well, Purdue fans will probably be there too rooting for Iowa, so maybe it won't be too much of a home court advantage for Illinois. But give me Illinois in that one.
Yep, Illinois is better. I mean, I think Iowa can win one game, but I'd be surprised if they put it together in back-to-back games.
Right.
Then the nightcap, Thursday night, we both have Rutgers defeating USC. So Rutgers and Purdue for the third time this year.
Give me Purdue.
I think it's hard to beat a team three times, but I think Purdue can get it done. Yeah. Rutgers just doesn't play defense. So Friday, we both have Indiana beating Oregon on Thursday. So matching up with the one seed Michigan State.
Give me Michigan State. Michigan State almost seems like a team of destiny right now, unfortunately, because they 17-3 in league play. I cannot believe that this Michigan State team that will likely not have a single player on the first team All Big Ten.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't. They're just a really good basketball team. Tough, hard-nosed, kind of old school. Don't shoot many threes, but, man, can they defend the heck out of it. Got athletes all over the place. Yep. Colin Carr might be the best Big Ten dunker we've seen in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan State.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if Indiana wins this game. It would not shock me.
Yeah.
But they beat them up in East Lansing. And I think Michigan State wants revenge. Yeah. I really do. Michigan State will have a good fan following. Their fans travel when they struggle. So I think Michigan State also wins a close one here. All right, we both have Wisconsin moving on Thursday to face UCLA, which can't believe they end up getting a double bye.
I know it's kind of a backdoor double bye a little bit because they early in January, I'm thinking, man, Mick Cronin might get fired because this team was supposed to be pretty good. And then they ended up being really good. But again, same thing as Oregon, you're traveling east. This game won't be too terrible of a local time game for them. It'd be about probably maybe noon by the time this one kicks off. But I think Wisconsin is built to make a tourney run because of their offense. They have guys that can take over like John Tonji. So give me Wisconsin in that one.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Yep. I think it'd be a really good game. I think a lot of these games are going to be a really good game, but I think, I think Wisconsin is built better for a tournament like this than UCLA. We both have Illinois beating Iowa. So they advanced Friday to face Maryland.
Kind of like last week when we were picking the Illinois-Purdue game, I'll believe Illinois beat Maryland when I see it. I know they beat them last year. That was a pretty special Illinois team, though, at that point. I mean, they got hot at that. That was kind of when they started taking off a little bit. Maryland's a terrible matchup, and with that, I'm taking Maryland. Hopefully, Illinois will put up a little better fight than they did in Champaign, but give me Maryland in a close one.
I really want to take Illinois, especially for the potential – matchup on Saturday that I'm gonna, well, yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I am taking Maryland as well. I like the way they're playing. They're coming in hot. I think they won like 9 of the last 11, something like that.
They're playing good basketball.
So they're playing good basketball. Then a nightcap, Purdue against Michigan for the third time.
Michigan loses out, in my opinion. I think they lose this one, Purdue advances, and then they lose their first round in the NCAA tourney, and what will probably likely end up being maybe the dreaded 5-12 game for them, maybe even 6-11 if they keep slipping. I don't know where Lenardi has them. Maybe he has them as a 4, and I'm sounding stupid. But
I'll look it
up. Give me Purdue. I think they handle them is what I'll say. I think they win by double digits.
I like Purdue as well. I want this matchup bad.
Mm-hmm.
I want them again. Purdue smacked them at Mackey.
Yeah.
Lost a close one in Ann Arbor that still frustrates me. He started their slide. Losing 5 of the last 7. I really want this one, so give me Purdue in that one. So semifinals, we have 1 seed Michigan State against 5 seed Wisconsin, 2 seed Maryland against 6 seed Purdue.
I'm buying this Wisconsin team, and I think Michigan State's reign of terror this year comes to a close, and Wisconsin moves on. They're going to be out for blood as well after losing a close one in Michigan State just last week. And I like the way this Wisconsin team is set up to make a tourney run again, as I said, because of their ability to shoot the ball. They kind of do five out, all guys can shoot. So give me Wisconsin that one.
Real quick before I do my pick, I got Lenardi's Bracketology up here. It was last updated last night at 11:25. He has Indiana as one of the last four byes. He has Ohio State as one of the last four in.
Oh, man.
And he has Nebraska as the top next four out.
Next four out. Okay. So they're done. And yeah, they're done. There's no way they can gain because they're not in the Big Ten tourney. So they're done.
Right. He's got Nebraska, Wake Forest, Cincinnati, Dayton, next four out. First four outs, Boise State, North Carolina, Texas, and the Fighting Ethan Martins at Colorado State. and I'm going to try to see where he's got Michigan real quick. Sixth seed right now.
I think he has Illinois as a six or his top seven. I can't remember.
Sixth seed.
Okay.
They moved up to a six.
Yeah. Speaking of Illinois and probably Purdue, how many quad one wins does Purdue have this year?
I don't know off the top of my head. I should, but I don't.
Illinois is eight, find it. Which is more than any team in the ACC or the Big East. And I assume Purdue's right there as well with about eight or nine maybe. So it shows how weak, for one, the ACC was, but the Big East is kind of weak as well this year.
Yeah, no doubt. What's a good website to find quad one wins up?
I have no idea. I just saw it on Twitter. Sorry, I can't. Nope. Can't help you unless you want to go schedule by schedule and look up each individual.
Don't have enough time. Not going to bore everybody, but I need to get back to my picks. I'm going down a rabbit hole here. I want to pick Wisconsin as well, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to pick Michigan State, the championship. But I want to pick. It wouldn't shock me for Michigan State to lose like in the semifinals and then get hot in the NCAA tournament and make a run.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, I know.
If they win the Big Ten, I know the Big Ten people, the media, are hyping them up as potential one. I don't think it'll happen. But if they win the Big Ten tourney, they're at least in the convo.
Yeah, yeah. Probably two, but yeah, you're in combo for one. And then Maryland and Purdue.
Sorry, T-Dog, I'm taking That's Maryland. Right. I think Maryland's a bad matchup for Purdue, and I think Purdue played Maryland at the perfect time this
December
year.
At home.
In December before Maryland got really good. I didn't think Maryland was going to be good, honestly, even at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, give me Maryland in a very, very close one.
Oh, screw it. I'll be different again. I'll go Homer. I got Purdue, which I'd rather see Wisconsin than Michigan State. I think they've only met Michigan State once in the Big Ten tournament championship, but still don't like think back to that game. But here we are. So you got the Wisconsin versus Maryland. A lot of red there. And I got Michigan State versus Purdue.
Fan support probably won't be too great for the Big Ten championship then. If Wisconsin might have some fans. I don't think Maryland travels all that well. Give me Maryland. I think they win their first Big Ten tourney title.
I'm not going greedy here. I'll take Michigan State. And I know last week we were talking, you know, like, and I still put more emphasis on Big Ten regular season title. But, man, it would be nice to get a Big Ten tournament. Because this Purdue team is not going to make the Final Four. So,
never know.
I never say never, but I – So, looking forward to the Big Ten tournament. It's going to be a fun week. Going around the other.
Can I do my blind ranking first? Because it ties in with the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
My blind rank, I have five Big Ten tournament MOPs on my list.
I like it.
Starting with Evan Turner.
How did I know you were going to start with him? I'm putting him at one.
It's hard to disagree with that one because he had an unbelievable
couldn't stand him.
Career.
The villain nickname for sure, but yeah. That dude just took over games. I mean, the year they won it, his last year there, they should have lost to Michigan. He hits that half quarter.
Yeah.
At the buzzer. Yeah. We were watching it in choir class.
I remember that. Yeah.
Before we could watch it on cell phones. we actually watched it on the Roland TV or whatever.
We wheeled in the TV and the grainy non-HD pick.
He was just a beast. I mean, he could take over a game in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Your boy, Aaron Kraft. Somehow won an MOP.
That shocks me. Yeah. Great college player. Got his teammates involved. Nasty on defense, but I'm putting him 5.
Okay. Ayo Dosunmu.
Oh, good one. Good college player. Oh, man, I don't know who else you got on here. I'm going to put him at 4. I think he got some heavy hitters.
That hurts.
I was going to put him at 3.
His junior year rivals Evan Turner's junior year. Keegan Murray.
See, I wouldn't have put him. No, I'm going to put him at 3.
Yeah.
I would have put Ayo before him.
Zach Edey.
I had a feeling that was coming. I'm all right with him at 2.
Yeah. Turner and Edey, though, you can switch, and I don't think anyone would.
Well, it's so hard to compare. 1.74, 1.67.
Right. And, 6'7", point guard in a sense.
Yeah.
But
they both put their teams on their back. That's all those guys did. Maybe not Aaron Kraft so much.
No, he was pesky. With today's rules, I don't know if he does much, honestly. The physicality of the game is kind of gone.
Oh, yeah. That's
the on-ball defense physicality, I should say.
I had a conversation on the Boiler Breakdown a couple weeks ago about Braden Smith's defense compared to Chris Kramer's defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know if Chris Kramer can play without fouling out
right
in today's game. So
that's exactly how I feel about Aaron Kraft. And Kraft was not an offensive guy at all, and neither was Kramer.
No.
But
which was weird. When Kramer went out to Europe, he scored a bunch. It's like, he kind of knew his role in college. I mean, you had Robbie, Etuan, Juwan. And, my role is going to be defense. And then he ended up scoring a bunch in his pro career.
Well, Jalen Tate went to Canada and shot 40% from 3. So I don't know how much that's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jalen Tate's an all-time Illinois legend in my books.
So. Oh, boy. That guy stunk. He tweeted last year, and hopefully Jalen, this does not find Jalen, because I think Jalen.
I highly doubt it will.
Heck of a nice guy. But he tweeted last year, man, I would have loved to play for Brad Underwood. And the whole time I'm thinking, he would have never offered you a scholarship, man. The only reason why you were at Illinois is because they wanted Kendrick Nunn, and that was when they had to play the Chicago politics that Undy doesn't really put up with, nor is it that big of a deal anymore.
That's funny. That's funny, but that's a good one. I like this week's blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print Superoma Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print Superoma Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Going around some of the other conference tournaments, anybody but Duke have a chance to win the ACC?
Clemson knocked them off a month ago or so, but that was in Clemson, and it was by single digits. Duke's looking, as of right now, Duke is the best team in the country. Auburn, I think, has lost 2 of their last 3, including a heartbreaker against Alabama at home. And Duke is just destroying everyone. Everyone. I think they had 4 straight wins of 30 or more points coming into the Carolina game, and then they took care of them, and I don't even think they played that well that game. So, yeah, give me Duke. I think, is the ACC just a 3-bid league? Clemson, Louisville, Duke? Is there somebody else I'm missing?
I believe so. Wake Forest is on the next 4 out of Lenardi's. SMU's got a good record, but I don't think they're in.
They haven't beaten anyone. There's been so little. Yeah. I mean, they said, man, North Carolina did what they had to do, 1-6 in a row, and not a single one of them were above like 55 in the net. So it didn't really help their. It prevented losses on their resume to quad 2 opponents, or quad 3 opponents. But
yeah,
I think Carolina at this point, they got to get to at least the title game to be in. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't know how Lenardi has them as the second team out, but
I think a lot of it has to do with that name, North Carolina.
Yeah. Yep. Big East.
Man.
St. John's going to win it in the Garden?
St. John's, heck of a win at Marquette on Saturday. I think that was a buzzer beater as well.
All Marquette had it. Well, was it a buzzer beater to take it over to time or buzzer beater in overtime? I don't remember. Yeah, I think it was in overtime. But Marquette guy had to rebound. He dropped it. like to say John's the guy who put it in for about 4 feet. So
the Big East tourney is always fun. The Garden will be rocking. There'll be a ton of St. John's fans there, ton of UConn fans there. Creighton's hot right now, too.
Yep. Xavier's the 4 seed, but they're the last team in right now.
Xavier needs some W's. I think Butler stinks. So I'm not going
to. They're the 9 seed. They're the first game of the thing. They're going
to
lose.
They need to be relegated back to the horizon.
Fran McCaffrey, next Butler head coach. Heard it here.
I can see it. Thad's coming back though. So
is he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they said it over the weekend that Thad's coming back. Unless Fran stays at Iowa for another year, then maybe.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think Jack wanted to get away from him and play for somebody different. So I don't know if Fran would respect that or not.
Yeah.
I guess Jack could transfer. That'd be a bad look, though.
So all three McCaffreys are tied with Butler right now?
Yeah. Patrick obviously plays with him. What's Connor? I thought he worked for the Pacers.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I got that confused. Yep.
They're tied to Indianapolis.
Yep.
Then their youngest son, I think his name's Jack. Now that I said that, I don't know, but he's committed there and he's going to be there next year.
Okay.
Or the year after. I can't remember. But that's a tough one. St. John's does not shoot the ball well. Give me UConn. I have a hard time picking against Utah in a tournament.
I think I'm there with you. It pains me because I don't want them to have any momentum going into the. Into the Big Ten.
No, because though, no, I'm with you.
How about the Big 12? That'll be a good tournament.
That'll be a great one. It's been a good basketball league for a while. Mm-hmm. I got to pick Houston. They had like the longest stretch this year. I think into January, they didn't even have a quad one win, and now they're staring at the 1 seed line again. Kelvin Sampson's one of the best coaches in the country. I like Houston. Watch out for a team like BYU to get hot, though.
Yeah, they're 4 seed. Texas Tech's the 2 seed. Arizona's a 3 seed. I keep forgetting they're in the Big 12. I like Iowa State as a 5th seed. I really do.
They're scary. Yeah, they're a scary 5 seed.
Heck, Kansas scary 6. I know they're not playing good, but my gosh.
Yeah.
Baylor's a 7. West Virginia's an 8. They need some wins to get in. So is Baylor, though.
Yeah, I think West Virginia was in Lenardi's final 4 buys last I checked.
Your boy Coleman Hawkins, Kansas State Wildcats are 10 seed.
I don't even know if he's healthy and playing right now. He hasn't played in a while. So
I'm thinking Iowa State. I think they get hot from Wednesday on.
I took Houston.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that. I don't know why I was waiting. we did ACC, did Big 12, SEC.
Top to bottom, this is probably the tournament that is on paper going to be the best. I mean, you have a bunch of teams fighting for a 1 seed. Florida, Auburn, Bama, all fighting for 1 seed. I don't know if Tennessee is fighting for one, but they should be on that 2-3 line. Kentucky,
A&M, you got Ole Miss, you got Kentucky,
A&M, Missouri. Mississippi State even has been ranked.
Arkansas.
In and out of the – yeah, Arkansas helped himself big time beat Mississippi
Vanderbilt. State. Vanderbilt. They've been ranked.
Vandy, I think they're in the tourney right now.
Is Georgia in there at 11th seed?
I don't know. Same with Oklahoma's been all right on that line, but they were
they're
like
14th seed, Texas 13th seed.
14 in league, and they're going to let them in the NCAA tournament. That's why we don't need expansion. We don't need crap teams in. I don't care how good the SEC is. We don't need that. Give me Auburn. I still think they're the best team in the league, even though they've had a rough 10 days or so.
Yeah.
I think they're cemented as a number one seed. I think they're fighting for that number one overall with probably Duke at this point. Because Duke's won, I think, 25 of their last 26 or 24 of their last 25.
Yeah, I saw some interesting stats. Mason Gillis has now won, well, of course, his team, 3 outright conference championships, and he's been on a team 4 years straight now that's been ranked number one at one time in the country because Duke just became number one today. So
pretty good.
Yeah. I'm gonna take Florida.
Oh, I forgot about Florida. They're good too. Florida's fine for one.
Yep. So yeah, that conference maybe was down a little bit in football or according to the college football playoff, but they're making up for it in basketball season.
Sure. They are.
For sure. So, any other conference tournaments you want to predict?
Trying to think of other conference tourneys. I think we both picked Gonzaga to win.
We did.
The West Coast, Missouri Valley. In my opinion, Arch Madness is kind of the tip off of March Madness.
Yes.
It's always a pretty fun tourney. It's kind of the first CBS tourney that is played on Sunday. It was in Drake won. I think I'm good.
All right. Before I get to on this day, just a little baseball talk. Garrett Cole's having Tommy John. It was breaking news this evening, out for the year. 44 minutes ago, CeCe Sabathia tweets a photo of Bruce Wayne looking at the Batman suit. in the Baseball Hall of Fame tweeted the eyeballs emoji.
Oh, boy. CeCe coming back. Huh? Gets elected into the Hall of Fame. They're going to have to postpone that for 5 years.
No.
But Garrett Cole's obviously a massive loss. He was hurt last year, too, and they suggested Tommy John last year, and he didn't get it. Yankees should be pretty good, but obviously losing your ace,
that hurts
for probably I don't know, a year and a half maybe, and he's getting up there now. He's 36 maybe, so I don't know how many years he has left.
Yep. So now I'll educate you real quick before we all talk right. NFL free agency. Let's look at some sporting events that have happened on March 10th. So hard to believe it's already double digits of this month, but
yeah.
Oh, let's see here. On this day, 1941, Lee McAuley Field, I don't know, Dodger GM predicts all players will wear batting helmets. I guess not all players were in batting helmets in 1941.
Yeah. Well, even like growing up, I remember Gary Gaetti, who played for the Cubs and Twins. He had the helmet, but he had no ear flaps at all. His ears were just hanging out.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah.
On this day, 1959, Dorothy Comiskey Rigney sells her 54% share of the MLB Chicago White Sox to Bill Veeck for a reported $27 million.
It's cheap.
They're still cheap. On this day, 1963, MLB infielder Pete Rose debuted with the Cincinnati Reds at spring training in Tampa, Florida. He got hits in his first two at-bats.
Yeah, he could hit a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. On this day, 1963, Big Wilt Chamberlain, then playing for the Warriors, scored 70 points in a 163-148 defeat to the Syracuse Nationals.
You think he actually scored 100?
I do.
There's no video evidence anywhere. We're seeing video from stuff we probably shouldn't even be seeing from like the 10s and the 20s.
That's a good point. But, man, the dude put up 70 a lot of times. So
he did. He put up numbers.
That's a good point, though, about the video. Some cricket. SEC tournament, ACC tournaments. Some hockey. Oh, boy, we're in the 90s now. Here's a good one. On this day, 1991, Eddie Sutton became the first NCAA coach to lead four schools into the tournament.
He was pretty good. Sun took over and was not very good at all.
No, he was not. He was not.
Eddie liked himself some liquor.
That's put it pretty nicely. On this day, in 2022, after a 99-day lockout, the Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association reached a new collective bargaining agreement. MLB teams set to play full 162 games in the season in 2022.
We are looking at a lockout in December of 2026 again. It's already kind of been said that it's probably going to happen. So hopefully we can see some real change this time, where they didn't do a whole lot for that CBA this past time. I mean, it's the just watching NFL free agency. Owners in the NFL want to win. It's clear. They go out, spend money. They want to win. There are at least half the owners in baseball that are just happy breaking even, including on the corner of Clark and Addison there in Chicago. He's even said it. My goal is just to break even. He doesn't care. Doesn't care about anything else except money.
You don't say that, though. I mean, you just don't say that.
Yeah, he is the dumbest son of a gun. And yeah, they need to do something. It's a major ownership problem in Major League Baseball, and they need to run majority of these guys out.
Yep.
They're trying to run out the Tampa Bay Rays owner. It was announced today. They're trying to get him to sell. I don't know. It probably, he said some comments maybe about Rob Manfred, probably. Manfred didn't like it, so he's trying to run him out. But you get Jerry Reinsdorf's cheap butt. They haven't done anything to that guy.
Oh, the mob first out in Colorado. They could care
less. Or them, yeah.
They could care less. They're awful.
Yeah, the people show up there in Colorado.
Yep, that's all they care about. Yep. And they could, I mean, they put a horrible product on the field. It's absolutely terrible. But it's a beautiful ballpark, a good thing to do and a fun thing to do in Denver. People show up. So, and cheap tickets. So, yep, absolutely. Yeah. I got a comment here on Facebook before I do the read from Mitch Melton. If Big Ten refereeing is Big Ten refereeing just a lost cause from here on out? They assess Golden with a technical foul for a light retaliation shove and Colvin with technical on a dunk, but let Holloman get away with aggressively getting in the face of a Hawkeye and two Michigan guys, including a shove with no call. I understand the meaning of the logo kiss, but you can't let a guy get away with that.
Yeah, when I saw that Golden got the tech, but they didn't do anything to Holloman, who got right up in his face and was screaming at him.
It should be both. Yeah.
Should have been a double tech. Yep. Or just nothing.
Yeah.
Big Ten officiating has been brutal. I mean, we saw the Colvin tech, and then you see the KJ blocking the three.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even touch him. They call it. It was just a anticipatory whistle.
Well, and it is so, I'm going to sound bad here, but it is so predictable too in Big Ten games, especially maybe all college basketball, Big Ten games. Big Ten's what we watch the most. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it to. But it is so predictable. When a backup Caucasian big guy comes in the game, he's going to get called for moving screen within the first minute. Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I watched Mav Morgan.
Yeah.
except Matthew Nicholson. They don't do anything to that guy.
Yeah.
But
and I'm not just saying Purdue. It's every team in the Big Ten. It happens to.
Yeah. It's probably because I don't know.
They probably more times than not don't set their feet, but probably. It just is like, it's just comical. And
you just know it's going.
And I know we talk about a lot of referees, but Jeffrey Heinies Anderson is the front runner for the worst in the Big Ten. He's awful. He's awful.
I've hated majority of officials in Big Ten play, but I think Heinies is public enemy number one with me.
He is awful.
Did not like Courtney Green. Haven't seen him at all. Uh-oh. Didn't like Bo Borowski, but I think he was an okay ref. I just didn't like the guy. Didn't like Gene Steratore. I just didn't. But Heinies definitely tops.
Yeah.
If I don't know your name, it's probably a good thing.
Yes. 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 He's just, I don't know if anybody likes the guy.
No.
So it's terrible. Operation that's not terrible is Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. And I'll get some of his latest designs up on the screen next Monday. He's been texting me some lately. He's been doing. He's got some new equipment, some laser engraving equipment that's really cool. So, I'll share it on screen. I should have had it ready tonight. I didn't. My apologies, Thad, but I will get them up next Monday and show off some of his recently completed projects because it's pretty darn cool. I wish I had a cool talent like that, but I don't.
No, me either. The best talent I got is changing the channel. That's better.
If I had a woodcraft shop, I would have no hand.
I was going to say you'd cut off a limb for sure.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So, NFL free agency is upon us. Of course, nothing's official till Wednesday, but today's legal tampering. There's announcements all over the place. There's actually was a breaking news one, another one since we came off on the air, that the Los Angeles Rams are releasing Cooper Kupp if a trade is not made before the new season starts.
I think the writing was on the wall when they signed, what was his name? I can't think of his name.
Devontae Adams.
I want to call him Devontae Smith. He plays for the Eagles.
Yep.
Cooper kind of lost a step a little bit, and he's been he's battled injuries past.
I'd take him. I'd take him though.
Yeah, good Wiley vet there. Yeah. DK Metcalf traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was kind of the big news over the
week. Him and Pickens, man. That could be drama filled if they're not winning.
That'd be fun to watch. Fun to watch. And don't know who their quarterback's gonna be.
Who's gonna be J-Man? Putting you on the spot. Who's it gonna be?
Man. Sam Darnold's no longer an option.
Justin Fields no longer an option.
I think Russie Dubs comes back for another year. That's it's kind of a cop out. I'm holding out hope for Aaron Rodgers. I think
it's one of the two. I think it's one of the two.
Yeah.
So say it is one of the two, because I really do. I think it is going to be. Where's the other one go? New York? Giants?
Yeah. I mean, I think I said last week, Giants were prepared to offer Rodgers a lot. Maybe Minnesota for Rodgers to complete the Brett Favre circle.
I would think if they wanted to keep somebody, they would have. If they wanted to go with somebody else besides JJ, they would have just re-signed Sam, at least franchised him.
Tagged him, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they should just roll with JJ. Yeah. I don't see.
Indy?
Yeah, I could see either one of those guys starting there.
Sounds like Indy's sniffing around Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Balling out.
I don't know who's worse at this point. That'd be the worst quarterback room in the NFL. But
Cleveland and Tennessee, you got to think are going to draft a quarterback.
You would think, unless would think. Cleveland's Except just
Cleveland made a trade today for a quarterback.
Can he pick it? Yeah.
Can he pick it?
Yeah. Jameis Winston looks like he's signing with the Chargers to be a backup. Or he's it hasn't been like. It's just a team that they're talking.
Yeah.
I think for Rodgers, it's probably just the Giants, Steelers, or Colts, but I haven't heard him with the Colts at all.
I haven't heard him. I said Daniel Jones.
I can't imagine him playing in Tennessee.
I think Rodgers would just retire if he didn't go to what he thinks a winning situation. I don't see him going to the Giants.
Maybe I don't either. That ego is so massive, though, I don't see him retiring just because no one wants him. He'll keep working out.
Yeah. Somebody gets hurt, he's the first phone call, I guess.
Definitely.
You know. The Broncos will officially have a new starting running back there, which I knew he wasn't going to resign, and I didn't want him to. Javonte Williams signed a one-year deal with Dallas Cowboys. I'm just saying that now. That's fine with me. AFC East, I know that's got your interest. The Patriots agreed to terms with Mac Hollins. Formerly the Bills.
Two-year deal.
Let's see here. Darius Slayton resigned with the Giants. 3-year, $36 million. Darn it. I wanted the Broncos to kick those tires. The Panthers have made a lot of moves today, especially on defense.
I read last night, watch out for the Patriots and Panthers today, and both spent quite a bit of money.
Commanders have made a bunch of moves today, too.
Traded got old Tunzel. Yeah, old gas mask.
Ryan Kelly, longtime Colts center, signed a 2-year, $18 million deal with the Vikings. Colts did sign Javarius Ward, big deal. 3-year, $60 million deal. Got him from the Niners. Niners lost a lot of guys today.
They did. It sounds like they're going to lose Dre Greenlaw. Dolphins are interested in him.
So are the Broncos. They lost. Yeah. The Broncos signed a safety from San Francisco.
He's good. I wanted the Dolphins to sign him.
Yeah, 3-year contract up to $45 million. A little steep for safety.
Yeah, he's good though.
And that's the only thing the Broncos have done today besides re-signing a couple of their own guys. Josh Dobbs back up now in New England. Signed 2-year deal.
Bears have reworked the trenches, making, of course, the trade last week for Joe Thuney. They made another trade today, or at least signed some guys on that offensive line. It's going to be about pretty much all five new guys there. They're even making some moves on the defensive side of the ball.
They got Grady Jarrett, 3-year deal for $43.5 million from the Falcons. So, yeah. Let's see who else here. Miles Garrett, of course, got a huge contract by the Browns. But what money does to an
athlete. It was obviously all about the money.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Any other note? Josh Sweat got a big deal by the Cardinals. 4-year, $76.4 million deal.
Yeah, Eagles have released their starting secondary. Darius Slay is no longer there, as well as James Bradbury. He's no longer there. If anything, the Eagles have been able to do is reload every single year. So,
Josh Allen, huge deal, $330 million. He got a new target today in Josh Palmer, leaving the Chargers for a three-year, $36 million deal. I'm still surprised the Jets are giving Justin Fields a two-year, $40 million with 30 of it guaranteed.
I am too. I thought he was looking maybe a one-year deal somewhere to be a potential starter, but I think this cements him as the starter for the Jets, and I think that'll be fascinating. Who's the Jets head coach now? Oh, it's Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I couldn't think.
I couldn't blanking. Think either.
I was blanking. Colts also signed Cam Bynum today, safety from the Vikings, four-year, $60 million. So they put a lot of money in their secondary today.
Yeah. They need a quarterback.
And then Sam Darnold, of course, we said he signed with the Seahawks. I don't know if we went over his deal. Three-year, $100 million.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about this. Geno Smith traded to the Vegas Raiders to reunite with Pete Carroll.
Yes. And, I had forgotten about that until the next day that Pete was even their coach. And I'm like, man, I wonder if Russell Wilson feels like he got kicked below the belt.
Yeah.
But Geno's a little bigger.
Younger, slightly.
A little younger. Yeah. So maybe
I don't think he's very good though. That's the issue that Geno has. But
yep, Jimmy Garoppolo re-signed with the Rams. I'm just now seeing that for 1 year deal. Let's see here. Dolphins lost Braxton Berrios to the Texans. 1 year, $2 million deal. His wife's probably more famous than he is, according to my wife at least.
They married or just dating?
I don't know. Maybe they're just dating. Alex Earl.
Yeah. But yes, I would say she's more famous than him, and I'm very glad he's no longer a Dolphin because he didn't do a whole lot besides return kicks, and he was Mr. Fair Catch, so I'm okay with him not being back.
Chris Godwin re-signed with Tampa Bay, 3 years, $66 million.
Good for him, especially after our gruesome leg injury this year, too.
Son Riddick signed with the Buccaneers, 1 year, $14 million deal. At least he's somewhere now. Khalil Mack re-signed with the Chargers, 1 year deal. J.C. Horn got his contract extended and became the highest paid DB in the league now.
Joe Horn's son.
Yep. 4 year, $100 million extension with 70 guaranteed.
Bring out that flip phone.
Yeah. Jake Matthews, 2 year, $45 million extension with the Falcons. He's been there forever.
Long time.
So, Yeah, that's pretty much all the news today. So there'll be more tonight and the next following days, I'm sure. So
yeah, definitely.
Yep. All right, J-Man, birdie or bogey, what Big Ten school has had the most Big Ten Player of the Year award winners?
Since 84, 85. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Purdue.
You, my friend, are getting a bogey. Assuming Braden Smith wins it, Purdue will be tied for second with Ohio State. 7. Michigan State has had 9 winners.
I was going to say Michigan State, but I thought that was too obvious.
86, 95, 98, 99, 2000, 09, 12, 16, and 19.
I overthought this one because my whole instinct the whole time was to say Michigan State.
That's what I was hoping you'd do.
Oh, we're so bad at this.
You're not good.
You're so bad at this.
I'm shocked Illinois only has 3. That blows my mind.
They haven't had one since D. Brown.
01, 03, and 05.
Frankie Williams, Brian Cook, and D. Brown. Yeah. But you got to think, Io would have won it 99% of years, but had Luca Garza.
Yep.
Shannon probably wins it last year, but ran into Edie.
Yeah.
And then they just had a Kofi arguably could have won it, but then Johnny Davis had that good year with Wisconsin. Yeah. Then they had about 12 years of crap before that. There haven't been too many opportunities for them.
Michigan State's had 9 winners, Ohio State 7. Like I said, assuming Braden Smith wins it, Purdue will have 7. Indiana 6, Michigan 5, Wisconsin 4, Illinois 3, Iowa 2. Minnesota had 1 in 97, but it's vacated.
Chris Humphreys, isn't there in 97?
Not 97.
No, he's a little late.
But everybody else, 0. That'd be Maryland, Nebraska, Northwestern, Oregon, Penn State, Rutgers, UCLA, USC, and Washington.
Who's the last Michigan State guy to win it? Winston, I believe. Probably it's got to be Cassius.
Yeah, it was 19. That was the year you asked if Edwards won it.
Okay. All right. Well, Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a good time watching a bunch of college basketball this week. We'll be back at her next Monday to go through our bracket.